Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. All of us who are in the room, those of you joining us online, we're glad you're with us too. We'd like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using, I think, forever. The Lord be with you. Thanks. I like doing that right at the beginning of the service because I need that reminder as we enter into worship that God is with us. That He's, I know He's been with me all week long. You know, I know He never leaves us, never abandons us, that sort of thing. But man, sometimes we just need that reminder that says, hey, look, whatever you're going through, whatever you're carrying with you into this time, into this place, God's here. He's ready to receive whatever we throw His way in prayer, and He is ready to answer with His grace, with His strength, with His comfort, His forgiveness, whatever it is that we need. Let's bow our heads. Let's turn to Him in prayer as we begin. God, thank You. Thank You for meeting us right where we live, right here, right now. God, You've got us into this place where we're participating in this worship service, and I pray You'd help us to truly participate, to bring all of who we are into this time. It's not like we could leave anything behind anyway, God. You know those things that we carry with us that weigh down our hearts, that are buzzing through our minds. And so, God, we just bring all of ourselves to You today. And we pray that You'd help us to be honest with You, that You'd help us to have just an authentic connection with the God who made us and loves us and is here. Thank You, God. Thank You. Receive our worship as we sing to You, as we pray to You. Speak clearly through the Scriptures so that we can hear Your Spirit speaking right to us. And meet us at Your table as You invite us to remember the love You've shown us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. He's the reason we're here, God. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing.
All right, so as you're standing up, this song is pretty participatory. So I think we've done it a couple times, but you can follow my mom, Terry, here on the echoes if you're not sure. But I think a few of you out there can help out too. So. Let everything.
Praise God, there's nobody greater than You. Praise the Lord. Oh.
Amen. This is a newer one. I think the words should be kind of familiar, though.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven.
God, my God, I
God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness.
On the Holy Spirit, Almighty River, come and fill me again. Come and fill me again.
Come and fill me again.
Amen. Long ago, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing, and you will change them like a garment and discard them. But you, God, are always the same and will live forever. I invite you to pray with me, will you? Lord, I do thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That your faithfulness is unchanging and unwavering, Lord. No matter what happened before, no matter what's going to happen in the future, Lord, you are the same. And we can trust in, we can count on, we can stand firm on your faithfulness. What a glorious assurance that is for us today. No matter what happens, you are God and you are eternal. And though you are so big and so mighty and so glorious, Lord, you love us. With all of our faults and foibles, with all of our warts and stuff, Lord, you love us. At our best and at our worst, Lord, you loved us so much, you sent your son to die for us. And though we don't deserve it, Lord, we do thank you that because of your sacrifice, because of the death and resurrection of your son Jesus, we can be in right relationship with you. What a wonderful, glorious truth that is for us today. We don't have to face anything that we're going through alone. We also don't have to celebrate victories alone. Because, Lord, you walk with us, you are with us, and you have given us this family to celebrate along with us, to support us through the hard times, to be with us in the good times. Lord, they are your hands and your feet, and we thank you for each and every one. Father, I thank you for this service this morning, for each person that's here with us, for each person that will join us later online or is with us right now online. I thank you for the family that they represent to each one of us. And I pray, Lord, that you will be with this service. Be with Pastor Rich as he brings your word this morning. I thank you for a pastor who listens to your voice and then brings the word that you give him each and every week. May we have ears to hear and hearts to listen, Lord, to whatever it is you have to say to us this morning. And for all of this and so much, Lord, we give you honor and praise and glory as we pray these things in your name. Amen and amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
I just had to confirm that. I didn't know it was Pastor Judy's birthday today until you told me that. So she didn't tell me that, but... And I haven't been on Facebook, I guess, for Facebook to tell me that yet. Happy birthday. All right. Oh, there's a reason. Okay, no, we won't sing happy birthday to you now. Maybe we'll sing happy birthday to you later. All right. Happy birthday, Pastor Judy. Yeah. For those of you that I might not have met or those who may be joining us online, I'm Pastor Rich. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's not my birthday. But if we... If you're joining us online, we didn't get to shake your hand just now. Drop us a comment or something. Let us know that you're with us. And if you want to send something more private, like a prayer request or a question, you can do that with the link on your screen, livinghope.info/connect. All of us could do that too. Or you can grab one of those little green cards back there and jot your note on it, drop it in the offering box so I can follow up with you this week. And if you're giving, you can drop that in there too, or scan the QR code or give online. There's all those different ways to give. And thank you to those of you who faithfully give so that we can keep doing what we're doing week in and week out. I hope you got one of these when you came in. If not, I see some more back there on the table. On the back there, I just want to highlight a couple things. The next bike giveaway is coming on August 16th. It's hard to believe it's August already. I can believe it's August. I'm thankful it's August. We've got another one of these worship nights once a month. It's happening August 21st, if you want to join us for that. And then pray for students and teachers, because school is starting soon. That's why I'm like, oh yes, I do know it's August. I'm glad it's August. My kids go back to school August 13th. I'm looking forward to Parent Freedom Day, or whatever we're going to call that. So I've been home with the boys during the day this year, this summer. And it's been a different kind of experience. Haven't done that in summers past. We've had other things going on. But yeah, please be praying for students who are returning, because, you know, they're not all super excited about going back to school. And pray for teachers. They're not all super excited either, I guess. Pray for parents. Pray for everybody involved with, you know, the shifting schedules that happen this time of year. And you can see there, too, on the back there, other people to be praying for. I will just highlight one of them for you because it's hitting us close to home. This past week, my wife and her folks had a conversation with VNA Hospice for her mom, Judy. So she's going to begin that hospice care very soon. And we would love your continued prayers for Judy Hayes in the days to come, and for our whole family. Stacy's brother and his family were down from Wisconsin yesterday visiting, and we just don't know. We don't know how that's going to go. So I would love it if, before we dive into this morning's message, if we could pause for just a moment and quiet our hearts before God and prepare to hear from him. God, thank you. Thank you for meeting us right where we live. All the stuff that we go through, God, you are faithful, you are present, you are good. And we entrust ourselves to you. That includes our families, that includes students going back to school, and teachers and parents. And God, we pray that this would be a fantastic end to the summer and a fantastic beginning to a new school year here in a week and a half, or whenever these students all go back, some going to college, some going to elementary, middle, high school. God, thank you for the ways that you are with us throughout all the different seasons of our lives, from the beginning right down to the end. Continue to be faithful and present to us today as we look to your word, as we do our best to be open to hearing your Holy Spirit speaking through the scriptures. God, just crack open our hearts. Help us to hear whatever it is that you need to say to us today. However connected or disconnected that might be to the things I say up here, God, we want you to speak. We want to hear you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week was all about prayer, and we were wrapping up that journey through the book of Acts. If you missed that, last month we were making our way through the book of Acts and talked about prayer and how we pray through difficult times, and it felt like, you know what, prayer is a topic that's worth giving a little more time to, because prayer is something that we all end up doing in one form or another. Even if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're saying like, you know, I got dragged here, or I'm, you know, here under duress, whatever. Maybe you're just checking it out and you're like, I don't know if I believe in this whole Christianity thing yet, but all of us, we are wired up to pray or to reach out for some kind of help that's beyond us. And some of you have mentioned that in the past in your stories. Before you heard about Jesus, before you had put your trust in him, before you knew that there was a God who loved you, when you found yourself in trouble, you reached out for something. You cried out, hoping that there was something that was going to receive that cry and hear and respond. And we actually see that in Scripture, way back in the book of Exodus. Sorry, going off script a little. Way back in the book of Exodus, when God's people are enslaved in Egypt, and then when God meets Moses at this burning bush, as they're having a conversation there, God says, I've heard the cry of my people. And it doesn't say, when you read Exodus, it doesn't say they cried out to God. It just says they cried out in their oppression. As they were being oppressed, as their babies were being killed, they were just crying out. And God says, I've heard, I've come down to rescue. And that's why I'm sending you, Moses. There's a whole different sermon there. Sorry. We are wired up. We are created as beings meant to connect to the God who made us. And so we do that. We pray, whether we know we're doing it or not, whether our prayers are well-formed or not, whether they are connected to the truths of Scripture or not, something in us reaches out, and God is there ready to answer. So we're going to look a little bit at what Scripture says about prayer. How do we pray? What does Jesus say about prayer? And a couple of examples of things I've bumped into just this past week in prayer. And we're probably going to spend the next two or three Sundays looking at different angles of this. So if you're like, oh man, I don't care about prayer at all, well, I'm not sure why you're here if that's the case, but if prayer is something you want to learn more about and want to hear some examples of and want to, you know, become a better prayer, I guess, then that's my hope for me as well as you. I should confess right here too, I'm not I haven't arrived. I was about to say, I'm not a professional at this, but I am kind of paid to pray for people. So anyway, I've got a lot to learn still when it comes to prayer, okay? Don't look to me as the perfect example of, especially when it comes to like the discipline of prayer. Whew, man, I struggle with that one, all right? But today we're going to look at praying with Scripture. We're going to look at what Jesus taught and his own example, and we're going to look at some ways that Scripture can impact our prayers, can be used by us to pray. If we're going to learn about prayer, it seems like Jesus is the key one to go to, right? I mean, we're here because of Jesus. And Jesus was asked one time by his disciples, they asked him, teach us to pray, and this is what he said. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they will ever get. He says the only reason they're out there praying is because they want to put on a show for people. They want the applause. They want people to look at them and say, "Oh man, look how spiritual they are. Oh man, listen to how eloquently they recite those prayers," or whatever it is. He says they're putting on a show. They're getting applause, and that's all that's going to be for them. He said, "But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. Pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." Now, I don't think the point is you got to be inside, you know, like in some windowless room in order to pray. He's doing the contrast, right? You don't pray for show. You pray to talk with your Heavenly Father. And so you can do that anywhere. You could do that in the privacy of, you know, a prayer closet. Some people talk about, based on this, you know, go into a closet and pray. Some of you literally perhaps go into your closet. Maybe that's the only quiet place in your house, you know, because of the chaos in the rest of your house. But for some of you, I know for me, one of the times I find myself praying is walking our dogs. We don't have a fenced-in yard, and we've got two dogs, so I periodically have to walk them around several times a day, early in the morning, earlier than I'd like, and sometimes later than I'd like. And so sometimes it's very quiet. It's just me and a dog, and I'm having conversations with God. No one else knows I'm having that conversation. I'm not doing anything out loud. Anybody sees me walking along, they just think, oh, there's that guy. Poor guy, he's got to walk that dog again. But I'm having a conversation with the God of the universe, and that's what we're invited to do. Jesus says, just talk to your Heavenly Father, and He sees everything. He'll reward you. He'll respond to those kinds of prayers. It says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. And he's saying this like they're going to say, oh yeah, we know how they pray. Evidently, that was a common feature of some of the other religions around the Jewish people, that when they prayed, they just went on and on and on and on, hoping that maybe their God would listen. There's a story back in the Old Testament about Elijah, the prophet of God, and hundreds of prophets of Baal, one of the false gods of their neighbors that several of the people of Israel were being tempted to follow and reach out to and had begun to pray to. And Elijah sets up this little competition, and for hours, the prophets of Baal pray, they cry out, they dance, they cut themselves, they do everything they can think of trying to get their God's attention. And it's really funny, Elijah kind of mocks them and says, hey, maybe your God's taking a nap, maybe he's in the bathroom, that's literally what he says, maybe he's busy doing something else. And then Elijah prays this simple prayer and fire falls from heaven. God doesn't need us to babble on and on thinking our prayers get answered by repeating our words again and again. He says, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. So you don't have to go on and on saying, please, God, please, like, okay, God, you know what I need. And it's okay to be specific then about those needs. It's okay to tell God. He invites us to bring our needs to Him. But like, He's been with us the whole time. He sees what we need. He sees what we're going through. So we can just simply turn to him and say, God, you know what I need here. You know I need direction. You know I need forgiveness. You know I need strength. Whatever it is, you can just go to him with a simple prayer, and he hears and he answers. And so then he says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. You recognize that prayer. We were praying bits of it in a song we sang earlier. We'll pray a version of that later on, like we do every single Sunday. Now, the version we pray here on Sundays has changed a little bit from that. For one thing, at some point, Christians added a little tag on the end, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's just ending it in worship again. And I'm perfectly fine with that. It might not have been in the earliest manuscripts. Jesus might not have ended it that way when he said it to his disciples, but that doesn't mean we can't, you know, all of us add to the Lord's Prayer every time we pray. You know, none of us just recite that and are done. We, hopefully, when we pray, like, our hearts, if not our mouths, are extending that prayer in all sorts of directions. He gives us this prayer in part as a pattern to pray, to say, look, you can just pray simply. It's super short. It doesn't take long to pray that at all. But he wants us to, he says, you can just keep it simple. You just acknowledge, God, you're our Father in heaven. And we could, and I have in the past, spent lots of time going through each and every phrase, but just right at the beginning, saying, like, look, you're our loving Heavenly Father. You care about us. And that image gets used time and time again in the Old Testament and the New Testament to describe how God cares about us, that he is with us, that he knows us. And I know the father image can be tricky for some of you because of your own fathers and their absence or their abusiveness or whatever your father was like. Or maybe your father was great, but God's still, you know, better even than the best human father. He's our Father in heaven. He's not just my Father either. He's our Father. We come to God together, even if you're just alone walking the dog or looking at the Lake Michigan or out in your garden or right before a test or whatever situation you might be in where you find yourself praying, even if you're all by yourself, if you find yourself turning to the words that Jesus taught us to pray, you're reminded, I'm not in this alone. I've got brothers and sisters who care about me here and around the world. You're our Father in heaven. May your name be kept holy. Your kingdom come soon. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know if you notice, but the first part of the prayer is all about you, God. May your name be kept holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And then the second half of the prayer kind of turns to the things we need from him. You know, give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us, not into temptation. You know, don't let us yield to temptation. Rescue us. Deliver us. I've heard one pastor compare that to like inhaling and exhaling. You got to have both, right? If your prayer is all about, God, here's what we need or here's what I need, and there's no, like, you know, kind of Godward stuff in your prayer, if there's no like praising you, God, and acknowledging who you are and thanking God for his blessings, if there's none of that, if your prayer is all one direction, it'd be like just inhaling and never exhaling, you know, or vice versa. It doesn't work. You can't do that for very long. You've got to do both if you're going to keep living. I can't just stand here. I'm going to stand up here and talk for, you know, the next 15 minutes, but I'm going to take lots of breaths during that time. You know, have to, or it'd be a very short sermon and you'd have to call an ambulance. All right? We've got to inhale and we have to exhale. And Jesus models that for us in this prayer. And then after the prayer, he highlights one part of it. He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. He says, look, this relationship with God, this includes other people. You know, at the beginning, God, you're our Father. And then he makes sure we notice that right there in the middle, it's like, forgive us as we forgive others. The vertical and the horizontal, they're connected. You know, it's the same person, you, at the center of that, right? You got relationships with people, and if you want a relationship with God, then you can't have a hard heart toward people, or your heart's going to be hard, and God's grace is going to bounce off of it. You can't be just closed-fisted toward others, like, I want to wring their neck, you know, or your hands aren't open to receive the grace that you need from your Heavenly Father. as we receive God's grace, that has to impact the ways that we relate to the people around us, or we're not really experiencing God's grace, because his grace changes us. So Jesus gives us this model for prayer. And one reason we pray that together every Sunday is so that it gets ingrained in our heads and in our hearts. So that when you do find yourself out there and you're like, I got to pray, but I don't know what to say. At the very least, you could say, okay, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. At least you would know a prayer and you'd have a pattern to follow. So that when you get to that, give us today our daily bread, you can say, and God, you know today I need a lot more than bread. Oh, I need strength, or I need wisdom, or I need whatever it is that you need. You can ask God for that. But it doesn't let you just pray that. All right, so this is what Jesus taught. Don't make it a show. Just talk to your Heavenly Father, right? Don't think you got to babble on and on and on for God to hear you. He already knows what you need. You can just come to him. He's your Father. He knows. You can just come to him with simple requests, simple prayer, not just requests. Thank him, praise him, you know, and then also include the things that you need. Even if what you need is forgiveness. I didn't include the verse here, but in Hebrews, there's a passage that talks about Jesus being our high priest. And so we can come to God's throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When we need mercy and grace, that's when we failed. I need mercy when I've done something that I should be getting punished for. And it's like, oh no, God, please be merciful. And the Bible says that because of Jesus, when we need mercy, when we need grace, we can confidently come to the throne of our God to receive that. that reminds me, just that image of coming to the throne. Another little sidebar, extra bonus content here. It's interesting to me the different ways that we can, like our imagination fires up when we pray. I don't know what you picture in your mind, if anything, when you pray. And I have all sorts of different pictures at different times of what's going on when I pray. You know, prayer is this moment where heaven meets earth, where this little finite, limited creature that's me connects with the infinite, unlimited, you know, grace and love of my Heavenly Father. And what does that, like, what do you picture? Sometimes, I mentioned that verse that talks about us approaching his throne. Sometimes I picture that. Or I'll picture, like, the scene in Revelation where, like, there's all of creation and multitudes of all people from all over the world gathered around the throne worshiping God. And sometimes I picture myself as kind of part of that group. You know, we're all coming to your throne together, God. And we're so grateful for your love. And, you know, sometimes when we sing, I kind of picture that. Like, we're joined together with Christians around the world and throughout time and space and just all worshiping God together. Other times, I picture it more like a private audience with the king. You know, like everyone else has been ushered out of the room, or like when attorneys say, could we talk in your chamber, or the judge says, in my chambers? I don't know if that happens for real or just on TV, but but it's like, okay, you kind of get a little private audience with the King of Kings who cares about me and what I'm going through and says, hey, come here, let's talk. Because this king of the universe is also my dad, my father. Sometimes I'm walking the dog and I almost kind of picture it almost like Jesus is walking next to me, you know, and having a conversation, pointing things out to me, and we're talking about life and about whatever's going on. Other times it's almost like I picture, like, I don't know, like a cloud or light or something like the Spirit of God somehow is like around me. The power of God is like kind of moving along with me. I don't know. I can't picture that very well, but it's not a very concrete image. All kinds of different ways that we might picture ourselves. You might picture yourself just like face down before the throne of God. Maybe you actually physically get on your knees or on your face before God as you pray. Or maybe you're sitting having a cup of coffee with Jesus in the morning and you're talking over the newspaper that's open or the Bible that's open between you. There's no right or wrong way, honestly, to picture this, but it does have an impact on the way you think about what you're praying. If you think of God as like this stern, distant judge who's way up high and he's, you know, barely giving me any attention, that makes it pretty hard to connect. But if you realize, no, God loves me and he's inviting me to talk with him. And, well, that's where Jesus' example that I gave you here from Mark chapter 14. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says he prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. It says, Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. We see that even as he is in anguish in the garden, knowing that it's just, you know, moments away from being arrested and moments away, then like that night is going to be handed over. The next day, handed over to the Romans, going to give his life. He's going to suffer and die. He's talking to his Abba, his father, his dad. That's the Aramaic word for dad. Saying, you're my dad. Everything is possible for you. I have full confidence in your ability. This is what I'm asking for. But you know what? I'm submitting to you, and I'm going to trust you in whatever, however you choose to answer this prayer. I heard a pastor recently refer to this as it's petition and submission. That's what Jesus is doing here. Now that's, sure, if that helps you remember that, petition and submission, that's good. Anytime we ask God, it's like, hey God, here's my petition, here's what I want, and I'm submitting myself to you. He does more than that in this prayer with the acknowledgement of relationship and trust and all of that. But I've found myself using that example whenever I pray for myself or others, saying, okay, God, thank you. And usually I start my prayers with thanks of some sort. Thank you, God, for the ways that you've... Like if somebody asks me to pray for them, usually if I hear a little bit of what's going on, oh, thank you, God, for the ways you've been faithful in this person's life. Thank you that we get to connect today. God, please, would you help them with this thing they're going through? And then, God, we're going to trust you with however it is you choose to answer this prayer, because we know that you love us. We know that you love this person. We know that you're with us. This is Jesus' example, and it's a good one for any of us, whenever we have a need, to go to our Heavenly Father, to not be afraid to specifically ask for what it is that we need, but then just to submit ourselves to him. Okay, I want to share just two examples of ways I bumped into this. One of them, just last night, I got a text from a friend saying, hey, can you please be praying? I think I was walking the dog, which was good, because then I could pray while I was walking. Hey, can you please, our family's in trouble. Could you please pray? I was like, oh, dang, yeah, praying right now. What's going on? And then I see the little dots, like they're typing, and it's taken a while. So I'm like, well, and I said I was praying. Okay. So I like ignored my phone, and just as I'm walking, I'm just praying for them. And that word trouble sparked this thought in my head, this passage from Scripture. And I can't remember if I knew it, where it was found, or if I had to Google it. Google is your friend, all right, when it comes to the Bible. Google knows where things are in the Bible. All you have to do is type like the word Bible and then whatever little bit of the verse you think you remember, and it'll pop right up. I tried it with this passage earlier. To just this morning to make sure it worked. I was like, God, Bible, God, help, trouble. I was like, oh, Psalm 46 popped right up. God is our refuge and strength, a help always near in times of great trouble. That's why we won't be afraid when the world falls apart, when the mountains crumble into the center of the sea, when its waters roar and rage, when the mountains shake because of its surging waves. And it goes on. It says, God is with us when our world falls apart. He's present when we're in trouble. And I looked that up on the Bible app while I was walking and sent him the link. I was like, hey, I was thinking about this. I'm praying this for you right now. And then finally the dot stopped and he told me what was going on. And I was able to be more specific in my prayers. The Scripture is full of resources for us when we are praying, whether we're praying for someone else, for ourselves, whatever's going on. It's full of resources. I mentioned that last week with Psalm 22 and 23 being right next to each other. One of them saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which is a legit prayer that we can pray as Christians. Jesus prayed it, so we can. Why have you abandoned me? And then followed immediately by, the Lord is my shepherd. I've got everything I need. You know, when I walk through the darkest valleys, I won't be afraid because you're with me, God. Psalms of crying out for help and psalms of deep trust right next to each other. God is our refuge and strength, always near in times of great trouble. Oh, and that psalm, if you keep reading, you get to the end and it says, the Lord of heavenly forces is with us. The God of Jacob is our place of safety. When my world's falling apart, God, you are with me and you're my place of safety, my refuge. Earlier in the week, Tuesday night, I finally made it over to the Anchor. I'd been hearing about it for a little while. Where'd Billy go? Billy had mentioned it to me a while back, saying, hey, this is this cool thing. You ought to invite people to it. It's a Christian thing happening, a recovery connection, Tuesday nights at 5:45. It's for people who are recovering from anything at all or just who want to come. And then Missy got involved with it and started doing music there. Do you do music every Tuesday night there? Yeah. And so this last Tuesday, I realized, hey, I'm free. I don't have the kids with me. I can go. And so I went and checked it out. And one of the psalms that they mentioned was that same idea. Like, we can pray these. You know, these are resources for us to use in prayer. Psalm 55. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. You ever feel overwhelmed? Here we go. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. If you've ever felt that way, the author of this psalm, writer of this psalm, was in that place when they wrote this, when they prayed this. They wrote this for those moments. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. Interlude? I guess there's like a little musical interlude there in the original. I don't know. How quickly I would escape far from this wild storm of hatred. Maybe that's when they played some little peaceful thing on the harp. I don't know. And then, praying about those enemies, confuse them, Lord. Frustrate their plans, for I see violence and conflict in the city. Your prayers for others don't always have to be like all nice and pretty, right? They're not always in Scripture. Sometimes you're saying, God, please stop those who are doing violence to others. Please, just would you stop them somehow? Confuse their plans, frustrate their plans. And they go on. A few verses later, they say, it's not an enemy who taunts me. I could bear that. It's not my foes who so arrogantly insult me. I could have hidden from them. Instead, and it kind of shifts gears from talking to God to talking to someone else, it's you, my equal, my companion, and close friend. Like, you've turned on me. This hurts worse than anything else. But then verse 16, but I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. There's this confidence that says, I'm crying out to God, and God, you're hearing me. I think that morning, noon, and night part is interesting. And maybe this is just the poetic way of expressing, I just can't stop praying. All day long I'm praying. Or, you know, maybe they've got some set times that they pray. We read about that in Scripture. Daniel, way back in the Old Testament, he had set times that he would pray. He would turn, go to his window, look toward the temple in Jerusalem, and pray to the God of Israel. Christians down through the ages have done the same thing. Some people have 3 times, 5 times, 7 times a day. Different traditions have different times. You could set, if you want to try this, you can just set a little alarm on your watch or tell the Bible app to send you the verse of the day at a certain time, and it'll do that. It'll interrupt your lunch. It'll, you know, wake you up in the morning, whatever. Just a little reminder saying, hey, stop and pray. Like, oh, that's right. I need to pause and pray. And maybe in that moment, maybe you just start with the Lord's Prayer and then you see where it goes. Or maybe that day you just open the book of Psalms and you see what's new, what you could pray. But morning, noon, and night, I cry out in distress, and the Lord hears my voice. He ransoms me, keeps me safe from the battle waged against me, though many still oppose me. A few verses later, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. But you, O God, will send the wicked down to the pit of destruction. Murderers and liars will die young, but I am trusting you to save me. Now, I'm not saying that prayer is ideal. It might not be where you want to end up. It might be that you want eventually to be able to pray better things for your enemies than what David does in the Psalms. But if that's where you are, you start where you are. God meets us where we are. It begins saying, listen to my prayer, God. Don't ignore me. And it ends saying, I am trusting you to save me. Scripture is an excellent resource. Both the teachings about prayer that Jesus gives us, the example of Jesus' prayer, and Paul's prayers, the prayers of the disciples, the prayers of David, the prayers given to us in the Psalms. If it feels weird to you to be praying somebody else's prayer, like somebody else's words, and I'll admit it feels weird to me sometimes because prayer is, it's a conversation with God, right? And if all you pray are like scripted prayers, that's a problem. But if you, like, totally ignore scripted prayers, I think you're missing out as well. I mean, our prayers should be authentic. We should just talk to God about the things that we need, the things that we, what's going on in life. You know, we don't have to only pray. It's like, do I know a prayer for that? Oh, I don't know a prayer for that. I guess I can't pray. Like, oh, no, you don't have to know a prayer for that. You can just talk to God. You can just tell God what you need, right? You can thank him for what he's done for you. You don't have to know a prayer for that. Man, it reminds me a little bit of like going to the store to get a card for someone, right? I mean, you want to wish somebody a happy birthday, but then you go get a card in part because like, oh, they put together a funny joke or a funny way to say it. Or maybe it's not a funny one. Maybe it's like just like it. Boy, this really expresses the appreciation I feel for this person. And they said it so well, and that's why you look at like 20 cards before you finally pick one out, because you're looking for the one that connects with what you want to say and that expresses it well. Like, Scripture's not that different from that. It's like, I'm going to look for one of these prayers that's kind of been approved by God. It's in the Bible, you know, that expresses what I'm trying to express. I'm like, oh, you know, I wouldn't have worded it that way, but man, God, that's the way I would like to say this to you. That's the words that I was looking for. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, half the songs that we sing on Sunday are prayers put to music. We're singing someone else's song, praying someone else's prayer, but it's helping us express what we need to express to God. If you haven't tried that, it's a good thing. Prayers in Scripture, prayers of Christians that have gone on before. I don't know if you're friends with Pastor Judy on Facebook or not, but it's nearly every day or every day that she posts a prayer from somebody who's... What is it? Oh, it's just once a week? Oh, man, I feel like I see it more often than that. I feel like she's constantly, you know, sharing these prayers from, like, saints who've gone before. And almost every time when I read one of those, I'm like, oh, yeah, God, hey, and I pause and I'll pray that. You know, not just read it and think, oh, that's interesting, but then let that inform my conversation with God. It's a good thing to let our fellow believers who have lived before us, some of them have written it in Scripture, some of them are writing this day, but to let them help us pray. It's a good, good thing. And now we're going to practice the kind of prayer that's not scripted. Let's bow our heads and let's talk to God for a moment. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for reaching out to us. Thank you for meeting us right here where we live today. Thank you that we can turn to you and say what we need to say and hear what we need to hear. God, we can have a conversation with you, the God of the universe, the King of kings, our Father in heaven. Thank you, God. Help us. Help us not to just pray when it's like a scripted thing or a prescribed thing, or God, you've created us to cry out to you, whether in thanks and praise or in deep need. So help us, God, to keep this communication open, to continue to talk to you and to allow the teachings of Scripture and the examples of Scripture to shape the ways that we have this conversation. You are so good, God. You desire to have a wonderful relationship with us. You want to be able to communicate things to us and for us to be able to communicate to you the things that are touching us deeply. Thank you, God, for giving us resources to help us do that. You don't just leave us to figure this out on our own, but Jesus, you've given us instruction. You've given us your example. You've given us this rich resource of Scripture. We are so grateful. And we thank you that, like those Psalms said, when we cry out to you, God, you hear and you answer. God, there are probably some folks that are here today. There's some need present in their life. And for whatever reason, maybe they've just been handling it. Maybe they've just been running from one moment to the next. But they're realizing now they've not really talked with you about it. God, I pray that you would help us just to talk with you about it. About what's really going on. About what we really need. So that you can hear and answer. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are not some distant deity that we have to try to appease in order to get your attention or your blessings. But God, you took the initiative. You saw us in the mess that we'd made of our lives and of the world, of all that you'd entrusted to us, God. And you did not just leave us to spiral off away from you, but you came to us. In your Son, Jesus Christ, you entered into our darkness with your light. You came to us, taking on our brokenness so you could bring your healing, your wholeness. You even, Jesus, you took our sin and our death so that you could give us your life. Thank you for this amazing love that you have for each and every one of us. We celebrate this today with this sacrament of Holy Communion, together with Christians around the world. We offer to you these gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, you might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, when you were with your disciples, you took bread and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup. You gave it to them and said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Jesus, you said, "This is the new covenant. This seals the new agreement between God and us humans. That when we put our trust in you, that we find ourselves both dying to an old way of life and rising to a new one. We find that you take our sin, and by your death and resurrection, you break the power that sin has had over us. The power of sin and death and the devil. God, the devil is a defeated foe. And so now we can live in this glorious freedom that you have won for us. So today we do remember the great love that you've shown us, Jesus. And in response to your great gift of love, we give you ourselves. And we admit to you today that we need your grace and mercy. We've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. Thank you, God, that just like your word says, when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God, take that ugliness that we've walked in with and wash it away. Forgive us our sins. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ, that we could be changed from the inside out, that we can live a new way in this world, in this way of Jesus that looks like Jesus. Living as your body, as your children, as your hands and feet, carrying to others the grace you've given to us. Oh God, you are so good. And we are so grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song. And as they do, we're going to celebrate communion together. Pastor Judy, would you help me serve today? We'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. We've got the little pita bread pieces or the round gluten-free wafers or the individual cups if you need those. Or if I saw some of you grab those on the way in, we always keep them in a basket by the door in case you'd prefer to celebrate that way, because we want everyone to have a chance to celebrate today. If you are hungry for God's grace and grateful for his love, this is for you. Let's celebrate.
Lord bless you and keep make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you, God, once again, for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, we pray, fill us with the Spirit of Christ, that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, changed by your grace, and ready to share that grace with everyone you send us to. You are so good, God. We are so grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.